welcome and good morning. I guess this is what you would call facing your fears. It's come true. was just going to mention, who here likes good news? Everybody? Yeah, I think so, eh? Well, not too long ago, I got some good news. My sister was cutting my hair, and my boys are always bugging me about how my hair's thinning out. So my sister said, "I'm sure your hair's getting thicker." So I was pretty happy about that news. So I went home and I told Tanner, "Jenny said my hair's getting thicker." He said, "Dad, she just wants a tip." That could be, I'm not sure. But anyways, I guess I started another chapter in my life. Last night we got a phone call and Tanner and Taya were fairly excited. She held up her hand and there was a ring on there. So they got engaged last night. So praise the Lord. A new chapter in my life. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, if you got your Bibles, or like Paul says, your e-phones or what, or your iPhones or your e-Bibles, there you go. I'll give you a minute to get there. So it starts out with trust and honor God here. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your hearts keep my commandments. For length of days and your years of life and peace, they will be added to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute," or good character. "In your sight of God and man, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be overflowing with new wine. My sons, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves even as the father corrects the son in whom he delights." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it can do in our lives, Lord. Thank you for bringing each and every one here this morning, Lord. And I just ask that as I share my testimony this morning, Lord, that it would be pointed toward you, Father, that in such a way that it would give somebody's heart joy to come to you this morning, Father. Just be with us now. Amen. So Paul, he wanted me to give my testimony here this morning, and I guess I was thinking about that, and my testimony is kind of a journey. So I have a few questions I started with. What is my journey? When did my journey start? Is my journey the same as your journey? Well, I hope not, because there's some parts of my journey I hope nobody had to deal with. What has God taught me and why? I grew up in a family of seven. We attended Worsley Baptist Church and were involved there for many of my younger years. One of the first events that impacted my life as a child and made me completely rely on Jesus was when my younger brother was run over by a truck. I can still remember my grandpa Blue. He packed Robbie in, and I can remember he had him in his arms like this, and Robbie's arms and legs were hanging down, and his head was right back, and I was sure he was gone at this point. I can still remember Grandpa Blue packing him lifeless brother, my lifeless brother in the house and saying he's dead. This day, my dad and my grandpa had to drive Robbie to the hospital as fast as they could, so mom stayed back with us kids. So this was the day mom put us all in a circle, holding our hands and praying for Robbie. Well, the father answered our prayers, and Robbie is still with us today. He has six kids of his own. I guess it was kind of we look at it as a miracle because when Robbie was run over by the truck, it went across his abdomen kind of area there, and it never broke a bone. I think, how long was he in the hospital? A couple days? Yeah, a couple days. But he had little blood blisters all over his body because the pressure was so much that his blood vessels kind of popped or whatever there. So, so I was baptized when I was 12 years old, and that was my first confession of faith. Not long after, my teen years started, and that's when my struggle started as a young man. I was trying to fit in with the crowds and be popular. That was a struggle and hard on my Christian walk. I was living two lives, party and church. Mom and Dad didn't know the party part, I guess, eh? Proof. One thing I forgot to mention was how I really didn't like school. Right from kindergarten. So the minute I was old enough to quit school, I did. I always tell everybody I got half my grade 12, all 6 years. At 16, I went to work in the bush logging. I was working all week, then I found myself partying on the weekends. I was living life to the fullest, I thought, but it was funny how God got my attention. I was struggling in my faith, and I started to read my Bible at night after work. So we were up in the bush, and we would run logging equipment all day, and then we'd sleep in a little shack at night. I was struggling in my faith and started to read my Bible at nights after work. My co-worker Jake and I lived in a logging shack that was 30 miles north of Worsley. If you've ever been to Worsley and you go straight north, it's just bush. That's all there is up there. It was just the two of us up there together during the week, so there was no phones, no TVs, no distractions. And like I said, I was struggling, so I started to read my Bible at nights. Jake asked me, what was I doing? And I told him, read my Bible. He told me, you can't do that because you may misinterpret it. After a long discussion, we started to read together at nights. Jake gave his life to the Lord in that logging shack that winter, and is still walking in faith today. God taught me to study and pray and to not be distracted by worldly things, and he gave me the opportunity to witness to my friend. Was my life great at this point? Not exactly. I was still struggling a bit with my walk. By this time, I was asking God for more Christian friends. My best friend Dean started asking me about church and my faith. I guess that's one thing you struggle with as a young person. I was always kind of a little different because I was more cowboy than I was anything, and it was harder for me to find friends, but Dean happened to be a good cowboy friend of mine, so that worked out well. So I was, I was needing some good Christian friends at this point. He started coming to church with me, and on New Year's Eve 2000, does everybody remember what happened in the year 2000? The switch over? They called it Y2K. And there were many fears that New Year's, and all the fears of the unknown.
Dean, he called me up and he said, or he come and got me. He said, we need to go for a drive. So we took off on our little adventure there. And over the period of this drive, we were just discussing life and God and family and all these things. And 11, excuse me, 11:30 that, all the fears of the unknown. And at 11:30, just before midnight, Dean and I prayed together, and he asked the Lord into his life. My best friend became a Christian. Another answered prayers. I keep going back to prayer and how he answers my prayers. Thank you, Lord. Dean is still walking in faith today and is married with 4 children and attends church in Creston, B.C. By this time, I was starting to be interested in girls. I sympathize with the young men in the room. This is a big decision. Well, thank you. This is a big decision, and I did lots of praying that God would send me the right girl to marry. I can remember this one girl in particular. She was in my sister's class in school, so I'd get to hang out with her from time to time. Then we left school and started to homeschool. So from grade 6 on, we homeschooled as a family. So we hadn't seen each other for years. And one day, this beautiful girl walked back into my life. I can still remember it. I didn't tell her this, but she came walking out of the post office with one of her friends. And I don't know why it just stuck in my mind, but that was her. That was the day I met her again. Her name was Andrea. We started dating. Now, she wasn't a Christian at this time, and I was. This was awkward. But something kept telling me this girl is special. And I know for a fact that my mom always prayed for her kids and for them to marry the person that God had for them. Something told me this is the girl. It wasn't long after we started dating, she was coming to church with me and asking a lot of questions. I kept praying that God would come into Andrea's life because I really wanted to marry this girl. God answered my prayers, and she became a Christian. I was so excited. I sold my street bike, which I love dearly, but not that dearly, and bought a ring. The whole bike took that all that money to buy a ring. We were engaged and were married on July 15th, 2000. She was 18 and I was 20. Now, 23 years together with a life partner that God gave me, it's amazing how God provides for us. So I bought a quarter of land, but I didn't have any money for a house and wasn't sure what I was going to do. So again I prayed for God's guidance. That week, a guy I had worked for, a good family friend, he'd called me and he said, I hear you and Andrea are getting married. I said, yeah, that's right. He said, I know how it can be. It's, you know, tough getting started. And he said, I have an excavator. If you'd like, you haul it down there and use it. You run it and put the fuel in it. Well, that would have costed me a whole lot of money at this time. So that worked out. It was just God's timing. And we were able to get the get the dugout dug and got all the water lines in and everything. And that was just, I couldn't have done it without that. I can still remember how God just blessed me in that area so much. But then we needed a house, and on my budget, it was going to be a real nice tent at this point. But when I got the call, then I got the call from another friend I worked for. that he had had a house trailer and that he needed to be moved off a lot. So if I moved this house trailer to my quarter of land, he would come and build the landing pad for our wedding gifts. He also allowed us to make payments on... they had this house trailer on the lot, and he said if I would like to, I can move this house trailer out to my quarter, and they'd build the landing pad and everything for a wedding gift. So we ended up, he just let us make payments on it until we could get on our feet and get a loan. So at this point, all my worries, God took care of every one of them. I just kept praying, Lord, what am I going to do? I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know how. But he just provided. Again, another answered prayer. So then we got married, and the first year of marriage was interesting. I don't know if everybody's had the same experience as I have, but we were trying to... we had to sort out our differences and then just trying to work with each other. It was, we had our struggles. There were some struggles, but we started to put God first and seen a big change in both of us. There were some difficult experiences we had to deal with, but it made us a stronger couple in the end. I was born a cowboy at heart, but had to drive truck for a living to get set up in the horses and cows. On the weekends, I was custom feeding cattle and training horses. My grandpa Blue seen how I love cowboying, and we decided to start working together, and I quit driving truck and started ranching. We decided to get a loan and buy 200 cows and train horses on the side with the help of my grandpa and my grandma and my Uncle Keith and my Uncle Mike. I bought cows that spring, and by fall, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but we had BSE, mad cow disease. It hit. Cattle were in the tank. You could take a load of call cows to the auction mart, and after they were sold, you wouldn't even have enough money to pay the trucking bill. It was some of the hardest, toughest years of our lives. But we never went hungry, and the Lord always provided. We started our own family and had 4 children. Tanner, Mason, Dallas, and Taya. With cattle being so bad, I was training a lot of horses on the side. I was getting good enough, and I was able to travel down through the states, and I started doing horse training clinics. I was invited to compete in a trainer's challenge. So if you're not familiar with that, they invited me to go to Red Deer, and they get 3 professional horse trainers, and you have to take a colt right from scratch, and you have a timeline, and then whoever trains this horse in that timeline would win this competition. So the horse world was starting to consume me and taking up all my time. I was missing family time and family time with God, and God was on the back burner. I was getting ready to compete at this challenge and got on a horse named Gus. Well, that changed my life forever. Gus started to buck, and he was very good at it. I was coming down and he was going up, and our heads collided. That knocked me out cold. They ambulanced me to Peace River Hospital for 2 days till I was stable enough And then the air ambulanced me to Edmonton for 10 days of surgery. So I got a plate in here. It smashed the whole side of my head in. And they said I was going to lose sight in this eye. They couldn't even see it. It was so swollen for the first 3 or 4 days. But praise the Lord, I have just off 10% on this eye. Praise the Lord for that. Those 10 days were the longest of my life, but the Lord got my attention. I had 10 days in the hospital bed to think about a lot of things. He said, "Put me first in your life, and I will guide your path." I got home to my family, whom I missed dearly, and started to heal. For the first probably month and a half after I got back from the hospital, I had to hang on to a railing or something to walk. I couldn't even, totally lost my balance. I couldn't balance anymore. It took a long time for that to come in. I think it was probably a year after that I was able to get back on a horse. Just before that, I just didn't have the balance or whatever. So I kind of knew at this point that my horse training career was over. Lord, now what? Again, he answered my prayers. That fall, we had the opportunity to sell our things and start a new company with my dad and brother, which now we call Maverick Livestock. That's a whole nother story how the Lord's worked in so many ways in that. But I can promise you he has. And we've seen the Lord's hand in just so many ways in that whole opportunity. From the start, his timing is amazing. We started down this road together, and that was when we found out that my back was injured in the horse accident as well. So I had a crushed disc or in between two vertebrae, so it wouldn't take on nutrients anymore. So after we found out this crushed disc was, I was having trouble walking and wasn't able to help my wife or picking up the kids or helping with the farm. I was in a pretty dark place there for a while. I was starting to believe everybody would be better without me. Now what, Lord? That was my question. Again, that made me realize that all my family and friends were picking up the slack, and I had a lot of support. I became best friends with a doctor. I can still remember. So back when the church was just up in the foyer there, like we didn't have this part of the church, and it wasn't a real big room, and the preaching was up the front there. This new couple come to church, and you probably a lot of you remember Henny Boshoff, Henny and Hester, and one day they come to church, and I was standing at the back there, and he comes walking up to me. He's like, "Are you a cowboy?" I said, "Well, I'm trying to be." He said, "Oh, I've always wanted to meet a cowboy. So you're coming to my place for dinner." So that was the start of our friendship. So we went to his place for dinner, and we just hit it off and just become good friends. I didn't realize at that time the timing of him be like a doctor and a cowboy becoming friends. That was weird, but God's timing was perfect in that he put Henny in my life because he really helped me along the way with my back problem. That made me realize, I became best friends with the doctor, and he provided professional help through a sports medicine doctor, which ended up was me not needing surgery. He really didn't want me to get surgery if we could help it. So this sports medicine doctor was able to fix my back. And that's where the Lord put Henny in my life. And he just, every step along the way, it's just amazing how that worked out. I went from feeling sorry for myself to realizing all the people that God had put in my life to which I thank him for often. God has shown me so much in my journey. There's two ways to walk along the path of life, with him guiding you or without him. I chose with him. He has shown me so many times how he has my back and got me through the toughest times. He put people in my life to help me on my journey. And I hope I was a help to people as they were going on their journey. I wasn't a perfect Christian, not even close. I've had my struggles, said and done things I shouldn't have. I still make mistakes so often. If you've ever worked cattle, you would understand. They will make you so mad at times that you will say things that you regret. we got a new program on our farm. We sit down, me and Dad and Robbie, and we discuss the hardest way possible to get these cattle done. And then that's the way we do it, and then everybody's happy because that's the way it's going to go anyways, right? That's just cows. So just ask my kids their testimony of the things I regret saying sometimes. But Jesus died for our sins, and when we ask him, he forgives without question. When did my journey start? Well, I believe the minute I was born, God had a plan for me. As I look back and see how my walk of faith has introduced the Father's love to the people around me, you share Jesus' love with one person, and it can change their life and generations to come. My great-grandpa told my grandpa, who told my dad, who then shared with me, and then with my children, I shared with my children. Is my journey the same as yours? No. Some are harder, some are easier, and some may be similar. I believe that we're on a different journey because if we are willing, we can reach people in different walks of life. What has the Father taught me and why? He taught me that if I let him, he will guide every path I take. If we want to go back to Proverbs 5 and 6 were kind of the verses that I was hitting on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He wants the same for everyone. It's not about being better than the other person or religious beliefs. It's about believing he died for all, and if you believe, you will inherit eternal life. It's a gift for all. He wants us to come as we are. He'll change our hearts for his purpose. If you will do that, he will open doors and change your life in amazing ways. I look back on my life and I can't imagine what kind of person I would have been without him. My prayer is that all who hear will believe. If you feel the Lord is calling you today, please ask someone, find Pastor Paul or one of the elders or someone you trust. Just don't put it off. Let God change your heart. I know spending time in prayer and spending time in his word, so I can just see so many ways in my life where it's changed the story or changed my journey. I just ask that for everyone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for being in our lives, Father, and just guiding us and getting us through so many tough circumstances, Father, and just letting us see that when we rely on you, things go your way, and it's a much better path for us, Father. Just ask as every heart here this morning is touched by you in a way that we'd be able to not keep it a secret, Lord, but just tell people what you do for our lives and how we go about it, Father. Just ask as we reflect on what you did for us this morning, Lord, that it would be a blessing to each and every heart here. Amen.